Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today that we're going to talk about is the epistle reading read earlier by Mary Sue, Paul's letter to the Philippians, the third chapter, in which he talks about straining toward the goal. And really, it's a text about identity. Paul's identity. And it talks about our identity. Way back when I was a budding young lawyer, not all that young, I guess, when I went to work for Armstrong, there was a new CEO. He'd been there about a year, maybe a little bit less. And the first time, right when I started, he had this. He was real into media and advertising, and so he had this new ad or a series of ads that Armstrong, you know. We made flooring and ceilings. It was real exciting. And he had this song from The Who. Who are you? You remember that song? We should have the band play it. Who are you? Okay. I won't sing it. Who are you? And it was kind of an identity song, you know. And it was like, how do you advertise floors? Well, who are you? What kind of floor would you like? You know, we got a floor for you. Whoever you are, we've got a floor for you. Okay? And he showed it to the employees, and everybody loved it because they liked the music, right? And then, 10 years later, after the board fired him, He asked for the opportunity to speak to the employees one more time. And he actually gave me a copy of his speech to read ahead of time. He had wanted to know if I had any suggestions. I think I changed one word or something. It was a good speech. And he showed the same video. He showed the same, with the same song from The Who. Who are you? Who are you? Well, who are you? Who are you? St. Paul talks about who he is, and he lists a whole bunch of things. He says, I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. That's my ancestry, all the way back to son of Jacob, Benjamin, the favored son of the favored wife of Jacob. Woo-hoo! Big deal. Nothing wrong with that. And he says, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews, according to the flesh. Hebrew of Hebrews. I mean, my dad was a pastor. I'm a Lutheran of Lutherans. Woo! And he starts talking about himself, and you know, it makes you think, how would you define yourself? A lot of people define themselves by their occupation. Lawyer, former lawyer, pastor. And then kind of when you're in between and you're a seminary student, you know, it's kind of, you know, neither fish nor fowl. If you've ever been without a job, maybe you know what that feels like. A little insecure. We define ourselves often enough by our occupation. We define ourselves more often by our preoccupation. Or you might say, well, you know, I might say I'm a husband and a father. I define myself in terms of some of my relationships. I'm a son to my mother. And there's nothing wrong with those, and But Paul says, I count all those things as nothing. Well, those things are nothing. Why? Your occupation is something. You serve your fellow man. Martin Luther calls it a vocation. It's a good thing. It's one way that God provides for your neighbor, what you do. Why does it count for nothing? Or Paul says he counts it as nothing. He counts it as, the word in Greek is human excrement, dung. Why is that? Why does that count for nothing? Whoa, boy, why does being a husband count for nothing? Or being a father? Or being a pastor? I won't go into being a lawyer. Maybe you would have an opinion on that. But why does he say it counts for nothing? Who are you? How do you define yourself? Do you define yourself by all those external things? By what you've done? Sometimes people, when they retire, there's a little bit of an identity crisis. I've been doing this for 40 years. Now I'm not doing it anymore. I've lost part of my identity, it seems. And when you're in high school, or you're in your early 20s, you're trying to figure out what you're going to do for 40 years for your life. It's kind of an identity crisis. You're trying to figure out who you are and what makes you tick. You don't want to be defined by somebody else. And we reach out for things like, Well, you're from the tribe of Benjamin, Paul says. Well, you might reach out for something and say, I'm from the tribe of Buffalo Bills. The Michigan Wolverines who lost to the Spartans yesterday. Tribalism. We use those external things to identify ourselves, okay? Is that how you'd really describe somebody? I mean, describe yourself to someone? But that's not the real you, is it? And when you are described by someone else to someone else, often we don't like the way that somebody describes us. I'm not just a Bills fan. I'm not just a pastor. I'm not just a father. You don't really know me. There's lots of fathers out there. There's a lot of pastors out there. There's a lot of Bills fans out there. Or whatever. What makes you you? Who are you? It's not what kind of floor you like. Those things aren't real meaningful. Who do you think knows you the best in your life? For a lot of you, you might say your mom. Now, maybe it's somebody else, but you might say your mom. Everybody's got a mom. All right? And for 9 months, you shared the same body with your mom. Like it or not, you didn't have a choice. And she brought you forth. And you're here today because of her. And she loved you then. God said, I knew you when I knit you together in your mother's womb. That's when God knew you. And then God goes even further back and he says, before the foundations of the earth, I knew you. You. I knew you before you were a Bills fan. I knew you before you were a pastor. I knew you before you were a son or a daughter. And way before you were a husband or a father or mother yourself. God says, I knew you. There's no one who knows you better than God, who created you. And how did he create you? These days people point to things like gender or skin color or something else to say that that's how they identify. That's nothing more than being like of the tribe of Benjamin, tribalism. It's not really meaningful. Now God may have given you a particular skin color, and that's fine and good, just like Paul was descended from the tribe of Benjamin. That's good. It's fine. There's other things that we may have inherited that may be not so good. Maybe you're addicted to alcohol because of just genetically your runs in your family. Maybe you've got some other medical problem that runs in your family. God didn't make you that way. God made you perfect. Body, mind, and soul. Originally, Adam and Eve. It's the fall into a broken world that's caused all that. And your identity isn't in that. Your identity isn't in your genetic makeup, even though it's unique. Your identity is in who knows you really. Who knows you truly? And that's God. God who created you. God who sent his son to die for you. And you might say, who am I? Who am I that God would send his son to die for me? Someone whom God loves. Who are you? You are someone that God sent his son to die for. It's not what you do. Paul says, all that stuff that I do doesn't count for anything. It's what Jesus did for me. He showed me that I count, that I matter. My identity is defined by who God names me to be, his own, in holy baptism. One that he cared so much for that he sent his only begotten son to die on a cross. So Paul says, I strain towards the goal. What's the goal? The resurrection. Because in the resurrection, I'm going to see what God made me to be. What I will become in the resurrection. But he started with me in baptism. A real human being without those problems, whether they're genetic problems or problems I caused from my own sin, I'm going to be something new, a new creation, body, mind, and spirit. That's the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We don't really know what it's like to be human yet. I mean, except for human nature, which is kind of the negative side. True humanity is what Jesus exhibits. True freedom freedom to actually love God and love our neighbor gladly and freely, willingly, in Christ, because of what He has done for us. That's who you are, in Christ. Amen. I invite you to rise as we confess.